Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to our broadcast today. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. We're so thankful that you've tuned in today and trust that you're having a wonderful day celebrating the life of Christ. And it's a privilege and a joy to be with you here on this day. We are joined in studio by a very special guest, and I'll let you interpret that word special for him. But Brother Al, thanks for being with us today.
Well, Brother Lutz, thank you. I feel special, I guess.
But I think this I'm is peculiar.
Special. I don't know. I'm special. There's some. It's a lot of connotations there. But this is a special day.
It is.
It is the day that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And,
amen.
And it can't be any more special than that, can it?
No. And I appreciate you coming in and doing this show with us. Of course, if you're still going to have me, I'm going to stay after and be on your show as well.
Well, we need a special guest too.
So I will fulfill that role. But it is good to be with each and every one of you today. And I hope that you'll you're having a wonderful day today. We'd love to invite you to come on out and join us for our church service at North Coast Baptist Church. We are located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood, Ohio, and we meet together on Sunday mornings at 11, Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and we have a midweek service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And so we would love for you to come on out. If you're in the area, come on out, be with us. You can always reach us at our website, northcoastbaptist.org. There's a contact link right through the website, northcoastbaptist.org. Or you can call us at 216-521-3800. And I would encourage you, if you want to know a little bit about us, you can check us out on our Facebook page at North Coast Baptist Church, or our YouTube channel where we have all of our recorded broadcast also at North Coast Baptist Church. We'd love for you to take a look at that and see. Now, if you're a little further south in Summit County area, southern Cuyahoga County, in that general area, there's a real, real good church over there called the Bible Baptist Church, Richfield Church. I forget what it is.
Bible Baptist Church.
Go ahead, tell us about your church, brother.
Well, we're located in Richfield, Ohio. That's midway between Akron and Cleveland. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and we're right where Interstate 77 and the Turnpike cross, and at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. And we are having our Friday night Bible study tonight.
Oh, wonderful.
At 7 o'clock.
I'm sure we'll probably get some people to still come on out for that. That'll be that'll be great. wonderful. Well, we're going to go ahead and talk about a little booklet that you put together and you wrote called The Birth of Christ as Recorded in the Scriptures. So maybe give us a little bit of a background on this, and then we're going to dive into it and just kind of piece it together.
Well, yeah. Brother Lutz, when we were looking at this, as a missionary in the Samoan Islands back in the 1990s, we were looking for things to do for the church around Christmas time. And, you know, we were in the tropics, and so it's kind of unusual. You know, you see palm trees with Christmas lights on them and things like that.
I don't know. As I get older, that's a little bit more appetizing.
And you're getting into the Christmas spirit when you're in, you know, land of permanent summer, but we were just below the equator, so we were definitely in the tropics. But I had gotten a hold of a little booklet that was put together, I think, back in the 50s. It had some scriptures kind of thrown together to kind of give an account of the birth of Christ from different parts of the Gospels and some other things. And over the years, we expanded on that little booklet, and we put this together, and it has nothing but scripture in it. Mm-hmm. There's no added narrative of any kind, and it's just some Old Testament prophecies, their New Testament fulfillment in the Gospels, yeah. And some of Paul's writings and different things, and it takes you through the birth of Christ from the prophecies through the fulfillment.
Wonderful. And it's a great little handout. I mean, it's I've been talking on our show the last few weeks that one of the latest research polls showed that over, especially in Protestant denominations, the virgin birth of Christ is allegorized. It's purely looked at as a symbolic or a fairy tale, a story that can be used to teach some moral lesson, not as a literal account. And it really has been, with the corruption that comes out in a lot of these false versions, would cause people to question that. And mm-hmm. that's really what liberalism does. It corrupts everything that it touches. And it's happened in the church. And so I think it was something almost like 60% of Presbyterians, 50% of Methodists do not believe in the literal account of the virgin birth of Christ. Now, that's a problem mm-hmm. because we know that that is one of the valuable proofs of who Jesus was, the validation of those Old Testament right. prophecies. You know, and I always go back to, you know, we know he shall be called Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means, we know in the New Testament, it's enlightened to us, Christ with us or God with us. Mm-hmm. So he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist. So it really is a cardinal fundamental doctrine.
Well, and the other importance of the virgin birth is the Bible says by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin.
Yeah.
The sin nature is passed down from the father to the children, not from the mother to the children.
Right.
And so when somebody's wife says, see, their kids are acting up because of you, well, she's right.
But don't say that to anybody.
but the spiritual importance of this is that if Jesus had an earthly father, he would have inherited a sin nature.
Yeah.
And so he could not have an earthly father and be the Savior.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, this also gets around the Roman Catholic Church teaches that Mary was without sin in order that she could bear the sinless Christ. And,
right.
and of course, nowhere in the Scriptures does it teach this. And,
yeah.
and I once had a conversation with a lady representing the League of Mary or something like that. And she said, well, of course, Mary was without sin because, you know, can't have a sinful person giving birth to a sinless person. And I said, well, that would mean that Mary's mother had to be without sin
right.
in order that she could give birth to the sinless Mary. And she said, well, some of us believe that.
Wow.
And I said, well, then that would mean her grandmother had to be. I said, that takes you all the way back to Eve. And we know that Eve was not without sin.
Yeah.
And so it falls apart. She didn't want to talk too much after that.
But most people don't when their argument has, you know, no standing or ground.
Well, as we use logic on people, sometimes they
that really confuses people, doesn't yeah. it? Confuses me sometimes. Well, anyway, we want to go ahead and go through some of these scriptures and you know, talk about them as we go through them, and just really make the show, you know, this show and the next show really just about the Lord and about His Amen. Birth today. So we're going to jump into Isaiah 11. So let's throw that one out first. Isaiah 11 verses 1-4. It says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked." So as we throw this first one out, obviously a prophecy regarding the Lord and his lineage, his mm-hmm. human lineage, which right. is obviously absolutely important to prove who Jesus is.
And of course, Jesse being the father of David,
yeah.
and the Bible says that he's the son of David, meaning descendant of David.
And, you know, Matthew goes into this, which may be one of the later ones, but even Matthew chapter 1, I think we probably both are similar in our belief as far as contextually the book of Matthew is really written to prove to the Jew
mm-hmm.
who Jesus is. And the very first chapter, he proves that he's the son of David,
right.
also the son of Abraham, and by the end mm-hmm. of the chapter, the son of God. So
right.
it starts right off the bat, but the very first thing he says, he's the son of David. So it's very, very important to the Jewish people that he be of the lineage of David.
And Matthew is the kingly gospel.
Yeah.
As opposed to Luke, which, you know, presents Jesus as the man.
Yeah.
Christ Jesus. And it also gives a lineage there as well. And one gives the lineage of his stepfather, Joseph, which goes back to David. And the other one gives the lineage of Mary, which also goes back to Joseph, but through Joseph, through, I'm sorry, David, through David's son, Nathan.
Yeah. And Nathan was with Mary, or Nathan was Joseph?
Mary, because Joseph was descended from Solomon.
Solomon, that's right. I knew
and
it was one
he fell in the line that had the curse placed upon it. Remember Jeconiah, that none of his posterity would sit on the throne.
Right.
And so had Joseph been the father, Jesus would have been disqualified. He would not have been able to be the Savior, the Messiah, because he would have fallen under that curse. But by being of the lineage of Mary, biologically, as his mother, he goes back to David through Nathan and avoids that curse.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Yeah, and that's, you know, again, this is one of these verses that I think encapsulates really the earthly beginning of the Lord to the fulfillment of the kingdom,
right?
You know, smiting the earth with the rod of his mouth, and, you know, he shall slay the wicked. You know, I think, and I love that where he shall not judge. This is a good principle for us to live by if we're going to follow after the Lord. Not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. And I think the implication there is he's not swayed by what he sees. He's not swayed by what he hears. He's always anchored to the truth.
Right. Righteous judgment.
Righteous. And that's, and even another prophecy in Isaiah talks about the order of his kingdom and established with equity, justice or judgment and justice. So it goes along with that. So kind of a dual prophecy on that one on Isaiah 11. What's the next one we're going to go to?
Well, the next one is Micah chapter 5 in verse 2, where it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." And again, we have, you know, the prophecy of the birth of Christ and where he would be born, Bethlehem. And also we see that this is God in the flesh, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting.
Yeah.
And that points to the eternal nature of Christ. And he's to be ruler. He's going to be king.
Yeah, and this was the prophecy that we see fulfilled, validated, I guess, with the wise men, when they go in to see Herod, and ask, well, you know, where is he born, King of the Jews? And then he calls the chief priests, and they come and say, well, here's what the scripture says, and this is it, you know, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Now, I found it interesting there, though, that they do not mention the last part of that. If you notice, that they don't talk about whose goings forth have been of old,
that's
from
true.
Everlasting,
yeah.
Which points out, you know, either they were really scared of Herod to say, well, we're not going to tell him somebody bigger than him's on the scene, or it just reflects, again, their lack of faith in the fact that who Jesus is.
Well, and also later on, remember when Jesus began his earthly ministry as an adult, even though they understood that he met the scriptural requirements and he fulfilled the prophecies, they didn't want him because I don't remember the reference, but something to the effect of that everybody was following him, and if they didn't do something, that Rome was going to take away their place, I think was the thing they said, which meant their position, their authority, and their position in the civil government that Rome had authorized them to have, and they were more concerned about their position than they were about whether or not Jesus was the true Savior.
Which is really what organized religion is all about, preservation of its own power structure, its own
good point.
Authority over people to maintain that. Because as we see in the scripture, even as a little child, I mean, Herod goes out and he kills, you know, every child from 2 years old under, that shows that Jesus, no matter where he comes on the scene, he is a threat to those that are in power, who are wicked rulers, you know, who are not right, not governing the right. There's a right way to govern, mm-hmm. and there's a wrong way to govern. And every governor, government official has a choice whether they're going to do it God's way or whether they're going to do it their own way.
Right.
And we as pastors, in the same vein, we have a choice. Mm-hmm. Are we going to do it God's way or are we going to do it our way?
Right.
And you know, to whom much is given, much is required. So our accountability, our governor's accountability, our government's accountability mm-hmm. is much higher in some aspects than the average citizen is.
To whom much is given, much is required.
And I think it's, you know, it's a little different in our country because for us, the consent of the governed is supposed to give, you know, to the power. So we can't just sit back and say, oh, those rascals, part of our people put them in, you know?
We have a responsibility for those right, rascals.
Yeah. We have a responsibility for those rascals. And that's why I think Psalm 2 is a great chapter to share with those in authority. Mm-hmm. You know, it says, kiss the son, lest he be angry, and
yes.
ye judges of the earth, you rulers, you know, blessed is he that putteth his trust in the Lord. But he's a threat. And even mm-hmm. as a little child, he was a threat to Herod and to the religious people. So we see that in Micah 5 too. Now here's the next one that is probably one of the most familiar, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And so, you know, it's interesting to note, if you do a little research on this, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, but the times in which this prophecy was given were very dark. In fact, in Isaiah mm-hmm. chapter 8, it says that they had the dimness of anguish and were driven to darkness. So basically what God was doing was letting them go exactly where they wanted to go because they had rejected God in worship, and Ahaz brought back all of the pagan worship. You know, his dad Jotham was really a good king. There's nothing bad said about Jotham as far as a good king. The only thing was he didn't have any influence. His influence as king because of his father, I believe because of his father Uzziah. Uzziah intruded upon the priests mm-hmm. and got leprosy because he tried to offer incense. Jotham has to rule the kingdom early. And I think the people were like, well, this is his son. He doesn't, you know, we don't have to listen to him. So Jotham did some things, won some battles, but then his son Ahaz went fully off the rails, went fully after the nation of Israel and followed after Ahab and those guys. And it brought tremendous darkness. And yet in the middle of this darkness, the Lord says, he says, Ahaz, ask a sign. And he's like, I'm not asking a sign. And God says, well, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. And so in the midst of this great darkness, the prophecy of the Lord coming brings great hope to the people.
Absolutely.
And it ought to remind us today that that same truth is still there. That, yeah, we're looking around and, you know, maybe we're more engaged in it. I don't know. I mean, you kind of become your own worst enemy, I guess, when you study. You kind of just assume other people are reading what you're reading, getting involved, but maybe not. But I think the average person realizes something's broke, something's wrong, something needs fixed. And we've tried to allow man to fix this for too long. And we need the Lord's help now. And we've always needed the Lord's help, but we really need it right now. So in the midst of this great darkness, we're reminded, especially this time of year, the Lord's here to help us. The Lord's here to help us. And he's there. And for us, we're on the flip side of this. We already know who Emmanuel is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know it's the Lord. We know, as I already mentioned in Matthew, we find out a little bit more about that word Emmanuel means God with us.
Right.
And where does hope come from, brother? I mean, it's from the Lord. If we have hope right. in this life only, we're of men most miserable, the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is a great verse for the people to remind them, hey, there's still hope and mm-hmm. there's still help here if you'll look for it.
Yes. And there's also the miraculous aspect of this.
Yeah.
Modern versions have replaced virgin with young woman or young maid,
yeah.
Something to that effect, young woman. And there's no miracle in a young woman giving birth. I mean, it happens every day.
Yeah.
And no doubt there are babies being born today, Christmas babies.
Yeah.
But in this case, the virgin birth is a miracle that was prophesied. This is something that's beyond the realm of the natural. This is the supernatural. And again, that touches on what we talked about earlier about the need for no human father so that the Christ child would not inherit a sin nature. We already touched on that earlier.
Well, let me make mention of that while you say that.
Uh-huh.
Remember when Jesus was in the temple?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was Mary and said to your parents, you know, why have you done this to your father and I?
Your father and I.
Yeah, and Jesus said, I'm about my father's business. He distanced himself from that very thing you're mentioning, that he was saying, listen, this isn't my real father here.
Yeah.
Now, it didn't mean he was disrespecting him or anything like that. He was just saying,
I wonder if he would have pointed upward.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, it's my father's business.
Yeah, I know we all do, right?
remind you who my father really is.
Yeah.
And Mary and Joseph, certainly were aware that Joseph was not the father, nor was any other earthly man. He wasn't the product of a German soldier under Roman control, impressed in a Roman service that raped Mary. I've seen that thrown out there.
Yeah.
He was an illegitimate child in some fashion.
Yeah.
Not at all. He was conceived in a supernatural fashion.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Prophecy.
Well, and maybe we can talk about this. We only have a couple minutes left, I think. But, we were talking a little bit about this earlier, is what Joseph's thinking,
the
whole sequence of events, Mary finds out that Elizabeth, her cousin, is expecting, and for the most part, just goes right on over and spends the next 3 months. And the Bible says, and Elizabeth was delivered of her son, her cousins were there. So we know Mary was there. So Mary comes back, 3 months later. Now
starting to look visibly pregnant.
And if through the eyes of man, you're looking, knowing how women, how women are pregnant, Joseph obviously is conflicted. He's disappointed. He's hurt.
He knows he's not the father.
And he knows he's not the father. So, maybe we can talk about that here on the flip side of really his mentality on that as we go through some of these. Because I think it's, there's sometimes it's not 100% convinced, but it's just faith. Okay, Lord, you said it. I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know a lot about Joseph. We don't have a lot of information about him. We have very little information about Joseph in the Bible. But really, he just by him submitting to what the angel of the Lord told him to do was a tremendous amount of faith. So, listen, we're so thankful that you're with us on this broadcast. We hope that you'll stay with us. We're gonna be right back after a little bit of a break here, and we'll be on Pastor Al's show, which is coming up right next, and we're going to continue some of this study about the Lord Jesus Christ and what a time to find the Lord, what a time to know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord today, you know that He is still available to you. He is still able to save you. You don't need Him to save you to get out of a jam. You need Him to save you because all of us deserve to go to hell, and without Him, there is no hope and there's no help. But He is available. He is our hope, and He is our help. And I hope that you'll turn to Him this time of year. It'll be a great time. Any day is good to get saved. And we hope that you'll do that. Stay tuned. We're coming up here in just after the break.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.